Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. He is scheduled to return June 2019. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. If you live in the Kansas City area, please join us in a live Sunday service from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Our services are currently being held at 1721 North 9th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Listener, I want to acknowledge that today marks the first year anniversary of our radio program here at Gospel 1590. And we thank each of you for joining us this last year to study and grow in God's Word. Our godly assignment is to teach the uncompromising Word of God, and our prayer is that we will continue to do so with clarity and accuracy in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's continue with our teaching entitled Prosperity for God's People. I believe that every Christian will enjoy and benefit from this important teaching because it will elevate you to a better financial position in life and cause you to be a greater blessing to others if you dare to believe and by faith apply the biblical principles we will be discussing throughout this teaching. Again, this teaching is primarily for Christians. This corrupt economical world system that we live under is not designed for Christians to prosper. Satan's evil system is intentionally designed to keep people in poverty, living from paycheck to paycheck, and in financial debt. However, if we take the time to study what God's Word has to say about financial prosperity, we will find out that Christians can live above this corrupt economical system that Satan has in place. God's plan for our financial prosperity is not limited by the success of the stock market, or who is in control of our White House, or if you got that well-deserved salary increase. God will use these channels to bless His people. But remember, God is our source of wealth and not this corrupt world system. God's Word clearly tells us that we should not only be wealthy, but financiers of the kingdom of God. This study will consist of six parts. An introduction, which we have finished. Part one entitled, Poverty, Satan's plan to keep Christians ineffective, which we will finish today. Part two, the law of sowing and reaping. Part three, the blessing of Abraham. Part four, how to activate the blessing. And part five, seed time and harvest. Listener, if this is your first time with us, we welcome you and ask that you please go to our website at kccfc.net to hear the previous episodes of this teaching, now archived under our radio broadcast page. We do not want you to have a gap of information on this critical teaching. You may also give us your comments and or suggestions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. Please note that I will be quoting from the New King James Bible translation unless otherwise stated. Let's continue with part one entitled, Poverty, Satan's Plan to Keep Christians Ineffective. Listener, I want to make it very clear that poverty is a perversion of prosperity, and Satan is the author of poverty, not God. As a reminder, God's prosperity is not only about money, but it most definitely includes walking in financial prosperity all the days of our life. This teaching is not about spiritual prosperity or physical prosperity. These topics are important too and have their place in God's Word, but this study is on financial prosperity, which I believe has not been sufficiently addressed in the church today. Therefore, this biblical study is about Christians claiming their legal right to God's riches on this earth and living in financial abundance. Family, I want to repeat that, because God has a plan that is for His children so that we can be abundantly supplied to do His work on this earth realm. I repeat, Christians claiming their legal right to God's riches on this earth and living in financial abundance. Now let's finish answering the question, did Jesus have money? Before I ran out of time last week, we had just finished reading from John chapter 12. I was explaining that based on the Holy Bible, Judas, the betrayer of Jesus, was the treasurer of Jesus' treasury. And more importantly, that there was so much money in the money box that Judas was in charge of, that he was stealing from the funds, and no one knew he was stealing except Jesus. Again, I say, the bottom line is that Jesus was not poor, and he used his riches for kingdom purposes. Since February 6, when I first started this teaching, I believe that I have given you sufficient biblical evidence that God created all the gold, all the silver, all the diamonds, all the things that materially constitute wealth. Further, that God created all these resources for mankind. Considering we have many Old and New Testament examples of wealthy men in the Bible as a result of their faithfulness to God, it must be God's divine will for godly men to have wealth yesterday, today, and forever. Listener, keep in mind that our godly wealth has a plan and purpose which causes us to be blessed and be a blessing. Christians, Satan, by way of false religious traditions, has sold us a pack of lies when it comes to financial prosperity. And who should be in control of the wealth God created for us? In simple terms, poverty is the perversion of prosperity. And this hideous lie of poverty was spawned in the pit of hell to keep Christians from completing the Great Commission. Satan's main objective to keep Christians poor is to prevent the good news of Jesus Christ from spreading throughout the world, whereupon delaying God's plan for the second coming of Jesus. Listener, it takes big money to support the church. I want to repeat that. It takes big money to support the church, to purchase Bibles, CDs, books, TV and radio time, internet websites, missionary trips, ministry schools, feeding and clothing the poor, and etc. Satan runs this corrupt world system. He's not going to fund the proclamation of God's word. It is God's children who are commissioned to do the funding. And when we are obedient to God's word, we allow God's financial blessings into our lives. Let's read Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Now, I want to expound on a couple of statements in this verse that are very critical for us to understand so that you can see what your responsibility is in order for the blessings to manifest in your life. Let me start by reading at the top of the verse that says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth." In other words, when we speak about the circumstances of life, we should be speaking God's word over everything that goes on in our individual lives, in the lives of our family, in our communities, in our nation, and in our world. So we speak the answer, not the problem. That's the key. Then it goes on to say, "But you shall meditate in it day and night." Now, this word meditate is very important. In the Hebrew, it means to speak or ponder softly to yourself. But in modern time, it also means to think on. In either case, we want to make sure that the Word of God is either spoken and also thought about. Too many Christians are allowing their thoughts to get off course. In other words, thinking on the problems, meditating on the issues, and causing themselves anxiety, worry, and stress. But when we put God's word into action by our words and thoughts, then we can be sure that we will be blessed as a result of our obedience. Let's continue. That you may observe to do, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Now, this word observe means to do. In other words, be obedient and do God's word. Now, let's read the last sentence of this verse. It says, for then, after you've done all the things in the first part of the scripture, then you will make your way prosperous. Notice that the responsibility of being prosperous is in our individual lives. What we decide to do with God's word and how we apply it individually will determine whether we will be prosperous. But not only just prosperous, it says, and then you will have good success. Now, earlier in this teaching, I spoke on Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And I gave you an example about good success versus bad success. And I used the example of someone who was involved in illegal activities, selling drugs. Yes, they're going to have a multitude of money, but their peace, their success is bad because they're constantly looking over their head, trying to determine who's after them, if the police have located them, so forth and so on. But when you do prosperity God's way, you're going to have good success. You're going to have peace, and you're going to be able to enjoy all that wonderful prosperity in your life, not just for yourself, but for blessing others. We're going to talk more about that later in this teaching, but just keep that in mind. Now, notice that God has given us the authority to be prosperous with good success. And I want to emphasize the three-part qualifier for our good success. First, we must speak his word. Secondly, keep our thoughts in line with his word. And then thirdly, then do his will here on earth. When we do this three-part qualifier, then we will truly be successful and prosperous on this earth realm. Let's continue by also reading Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 3. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Verse 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, he meditates day and night. Verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Take note, listener, I want to give you or highlight a couple of these phrases in this passage that gives us a warning of how to stay in that prosperous state. Verse 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. There is just way too much sin and corruption going on in this world. We see it on the TV news. We hear it on the radio. We find out about situations that are going on in our own family and communities. But it says, as a warning, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. If you want to be that blessed man or woman of God, then you're going to have to stay away from certain people, ungodly people and their counsel, who do not
have your good intent on their mind. They want you to follow them in sin and destruction. It says, nor stands in the path of sinners. So sinners can be an array of things. Lust, it could be lying, it could be gossiping. Whatever is contrary to God's word, you want to stay away from. Because when you do get involved with those people, you will not be blessed. You will be tied under, headed for hell, because their intent is for stealing, killing, and destroying. Or it also says, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. You don't want to be involved with people who are negative, who are gossipers, who are haters, who are jealous of other individuals who are successful. You want to stand with those individuals who have God's word in them, and they want to encourage you to do good as well. Let's go on to verse number 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. We're talking about this blessed man. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And this is how you delight in the law of the Lord. Not only are you a studier of God's word, not only do you read God's word, not only do you just quote God's word, but you live out his word in your life. And his law, he meditates. Again, using that word meditate, pondering or speaking the word over every situation in your life. Last verse, verse 3. I want to key in on that last phrase, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Family, I want you to know that every area of our life, spirit, soul, and body, should be in a prosperous state. And that includes your finances. There is no reason why we should not be utilizing and being effective in our financial business, because God has already promised the good life. He's already provided the resources. So all we need to do is be obedient so that our life will line up with the word of God. All right, family, if you want the curse of poverty far from you, then you will need to submit to God's word by doing what God says in his word. God confirms his word with signs following. The good news is that God is not a respecter of person. That he has done what he has done for one, he must do for all his obedient children. Amen. Let's continue. I also want to read Psalm 84, 10 through 11. Psalm 84, 10 and 11. This time I will be reading from the Living Bible Translation. Verse 10 says, a single day spent in your temple is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a doorman at the temple of my God than live in palaces of wickedness. Verse 11, for Jehovah God is our light and our protector. He gives us grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk along his paths. That's good news, family. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk along his path. And family, in my earlier parts of this teaching, I explained how God created gold, silver, and diamonds. These are good things that help us finance not just our own needs, pay for our own debts, to support our families, but it is also needed in order to get the good news of Jesus Christ out into the world. So if we are obedient and do it God's way, there will be no good thing that will be withheld from us. Amen and amen. God's word does not change. And we can trust that he will honor all his promises. And that includes financial prosperity. Let's finish part 2 of this teaching by reading Matthew 24, 35. Matthew 24, 35. I will be going back to the New King James Bible translation. Verse 35 says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Now we know that God sustains earth, heaven, everything. He is God Almighty. And what he's telling us is that we can trust his words, because everything will come to an end if he does not keep his word. Praise God, praise God. So we can count on these promises that give us the right to live in a prosperous state, including finances, in this earth realm. All right, let's continue with part two, the law of sowing and reaping. The law of sowing and reaping. Since time immemorial, our living God spoke into existence the absolute law of sowing and reaping. Let's read Genesis chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Genesis chapter 1, 11 and 12. Verse 11 says, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit, according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." Today, this law is probably best appreciated and utilized here in Middle America, where farming and agriculture are still important industries. We can understand and trust this natural law that guarantees, all things being equal, that the ground yields back to you a harvest according to your planting. In other words, when you plant 5 acres of corn, you will yield a harvest of 5 acres of corn, not 100 acres of wheat. You can be sure that the quantity and the kind of produce reaped at time of harvest is based on how much land was cultivated and what kind of seed was planted. However, our God is so good that he added to this law the law of multiplication. Every farmer knows that one seed will yield more than one fruit. The good ground that the farmer plants his seed in will grow for him in multiplication. What I'm saying is that one kernel of corn will yield a stalk with many corns, and an apple seed will produce a fruit with many apples for many years. No real and honest farmer would argue with this process of sowing and reaping. And I want you to keep this natural law of sowing and reaping in mind as we discuss the spiritual law of sowing and reaping. This spiritual law recorded in the Word of God operates in the exact same manner as this natural law that God instituted on earth in the book of Genesis. In brief, this law tells us that you get what you sow. And this spiritual law covers all areas of man's life, spirit, soul, and body, which includes money or our financial wealth. Although this teaching is on financial prosperity, I would like us to read Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9 as a precursor of how this spiritual law affects our finances and requires us to plant financial seed before reaping God's financial blessing. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 9, starting with verse 7. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Family, I want to highlight a couple of phrases in this passage that will help us understand how this law of sowing and reaping affects us. So in verse 7, it says at the end of verse 7, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So when we're talking about the spiritual part of it, we're talking about all the things that man does on this earth realm, good or bad, will result in a harvest, good or bad. So if you are sowing fear, anger, jealousy, hatred, then you're going to reap all of those types of evil things. That's the reaping that you will receive at harvest time. If you're reaping love, joy, peace with others, then you can expect to receive a harvest of love, joy, and peace. Family, let's continue. Verse number 9. Oh my goodness. I'm looking at my time, family. I'm so very sorry. I am out of time, but please return next week as we continue with our study, Prosperity for God's People.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.